There's this passage I've been camped out in this week in Mark chapter 1. And it makes me think about how you and I sometimes live day to day amongst people who have no hope, who have no idea how they're going to get out of the messes that their lives tend to be. And we're sitting here and we're like, man, I know hope. I have hope. I know Jesus. I've heard the word of God. Like, I have hope in my own heart. I believe I'm going to heaven, and there I am, and I'm camped out among a whole bunch of friends and teachers and people at school, maybe even family members who don't know that. And I wonder, like, sometimes I feel like Captain Obvious, where it's like, we're willing to tell people sometimes things, but not willing to actually step up and be a part of the solution. Like, sometimes we think that we go on a mission trip and we just tell people, hey, you're messed up, like, you're in sin. All right, good luck with that. Peace out. Or we judge people, we look around us and we're like, man, I can't believe they're doing that. Or they're stuck in that problem. Can you believe that? But we won't step up and be part of the solution in their life. We're just pointing out all their problems and mistakes. And then we wonder why sometimes people look at churches or groups of students to get together and worship Jesus and go, I don't want to go there. All they're going to do is judge me and talk about the sin of my life and make me feel bad. And then I'm going to leave and go home and be like, I'm not going back there. And so this passage that I've been camped out in that I want to share with you guys tonight, it's just been on my heart, reminds me of being the solution. Of not just being Captain Obvious all the time and looking at everybody else and forgetting my own sin, but actually stepping up. Actually being part of that solution and doing something with this awesome hope that you and I have, right? Because we've met Jesus, and we've got Jesus in our heart, and we have his hope to bring to these people. So I want you to read with me, open up to Mark chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 40. As you guys are opening there, have you ever had like an old teacher? Any of your teachers been really old? Like really old? Like wrinkly, really old? Like, okay, so in college I had this music theory teacher. And I was about to graduate, and I had her every year of college. And she was that, like, really, really, really old teacher that every time you went to class, you had your phone right there just in case you needed to call the ambulance. You're like, she's really old. You know, like, I just want to be part of the solution. You know, like, I'm calling 911. So she was that old. But she also wasn't just old. She was, like, super, like, she looked really old. She was really, really wrinkly. Until, like, when she would smile, her lips would disappear. They just go like, and you're like, I don't think she ever actually smiled because I never saw it. I would just see wrinkles form all over her face. But she was also that teacher that you think of being the worst substitute teacher you could ever imagine. Like that day when you would go to school and be like, I never ever want to go to school again because this teacher was my sub. It was that lady. She was super, super formal, and she had the bun in her hair and the glasses, and I felt, every time I talked to her, I felt like she was about to just whip a ruler out of nowhere and just smack my knuckles. It was like one of those type of really mean ladies, and I don't think I ever saw her ever do anything nice for anyone. Like, people in my class, people in my major across the whole college knew that this was a woman to respect. Don't get on her bad side. Don't ask her for a favor. There's no such thing as extra credit in her mind. No, it was like one of those. She would always say no. Well, here I am about to graduate, and I have this one like little hiccup in my schedule. When you go to college, you'll understand this, and you'll call me up and be like, man, now I understand what you're talking about. I had to, what they told me in like guidance counseling was that I had to substitute one course for another. And it's totally legal, it's totally fine. The only thing is, that lady had to sign my form. And so I had to go to her office and ask her for something. This was a lady I thought would just be like, take a book and just knock me out cold in her office for even walking in. You know what I'm saying? So I walk in there and I'm shaking. I'm trembling and I'm already thinking, she's going to say no. Why am I wasting my time? I'm so scared right now. You know? And I walk in and I sit down and she's just sitting at her desk and she's got the wrinkle face going on, which I think she always had to have going on, because anyway, but that was a different deal. And so I ask her, and I slide the form across her desk, and I saw my hands like shaking because she just freaked me out. She just freaked me out. And so she looks up, and I ask her the question, and I'm hearing in my head, get out of my office, why'd you even ask? And instead, her wrinkles started moving, which I think her mouth was under there. So she's like, oh, sure, I will. And I literally said this out loud. I was like, why? And then she looked at me like she was going to kill me. So I was like, there, I messed up. So I just like, I don't even know what I said. I stumbled over my words. She signed the form. I grabbed it and ran for my life. Like, don't change your mind. You know, it was one of those. But I totally did not think she was going to say yes. Have you ever had someone in your life like that, or a situation in your life where you knew the answer was no? The problem with this was I knew she could do it. They told me in the office it was legal, and she had the power, she had the authority as that teacher to sign my form. I knew she could do it. I just didn't think she would do it. And there was a big difference, and that's what we're going to read right now. So look with me in Mark 1, starting in verse 40. It says, "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest. Offer your cleansing that Moses commanded for a proof to them.' But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter." Now here we have the story of Jesus and a leper. And Jesus at this time, you guys remember, is going around doing some really awesome stuff. I mean, he's going from town, to little villages, to big cities, and he's walking in these places, and literally, things are just happening around him. The power of Christ, who's come to reverse the curse on you and me, means that dead people are flying up out of the grave, rising back to life. Lepers are being healed. Blind people are starting to see. Miracles are happening everywhere because of the power of who Jesus is. It's unbelievable. And so what do people do? I got to see this. I got to meet this guy that I'm hearing about. So he's walking down streets and people are coming out of everywhere. And so here comes this leper. And he's heard what Jesus can do. He's heard who Jesus is. And he's convinced in his heart that Jesus has the power to heal him. And as he comes up to Jesus, this interplay, this conversation that happens between them is so incredible. He starts off, look at verse 40. "And a leper came to him." There's three little words in there that blow my mind. Came to him. They seem like unimportant, don't they? Except the fact that it was a leper doing it. You see, like during this time, lepers, you guys probably, we don't have a lot of leprosy in America. You might not know exactly what it is, but it's this nasty disease that just grabs your body and rots it. Your fingers fall off. Your hands deform. Your toes, your feet fall off, your nose, your ears. It's disgusting. And it's super contagious, so when you touch people, it passes easily to other people. And so what they did was, like, we don't want leprosy, so you guys all go live together. Families were kicking out family members with leprosy, saying, go live with that colony over there. You guys go live over there, we'll stay over here. And whenever you come near town, this is what you need to do, because we don't want you to give us leprosy. So when you come close, you need to be covered, and you need to also yell out down the road, is where you see us way down the road, yell out, unclean, unclean, so that we'll know that you have leprosy. And then we'll know to walk far away, and we won't get too close to each other. And so imagine living that life. Imagine being this dude who's told, not just, hey, you have leprosy, I don't want to get it. Have you ever had a cold and gone to school and you're like, I should have stayed home? And then people treat you like you have leprosy, especially nowadays, all these like germaphobes everywhere. They're like, ah, he sneezed. And then they're like hand sanitizing, taking baths in it. And you're like, don't talk to him today. He's sick. You know, like, I don't want to get sick. Imagine having leprosy. Imagine how these people were treated. To not even be able to like live with your own family or talk to them or see them. You wake up one day and they see the leprosy on your skin and they're like, you gotta get out. To not be able to hang out with your friends or go to school. To not even be able to walk down a sidewalk without screaming out what's wrong with you. I'm sick. I'm broken. Don't walk by me. To never get a hug. Never be able to shake somebody's hand. To not know what it's like to feel that human touch that you and I need so much. That was this guy's life. And so as he's walking to Jesus, those three little words, he came to him, blows my mind, because everything in his culture said, don't go near people who don't have leprosy. You're not allowed. You're broken. You're unclean. You're not worthy. Basically, they were telling him, you're trash. You have no value. You don't belong here. And the courage in this guy to know Jesus was the Son of God, and that Jesus had the power and was the only one who could heal him, gave him this incredible risky faith. It was a faith that was willing to take a risk that you and I, maybe we could use a little more of nowadays. Willing to take risks for Jesus that don't look like the conventional thing everybody else is doing. Doesn't fit in that Christian little box, but we're willing to take steps of faith like this guy that says, I know who Jesus is, and I'm believing it. And I'm not going to be Captain Obvious and just point it out. I'm doing something about it. Here's a dude who says, I'm going to do something about this. So it says this leper came to him. And look what it says he's doing. It says imploring him. That word imploring him is like begging. Not just begging like, hey, you got 10 cents I can borrow to buy a slice of pizza? Back in the day, I don't know how much it cost, right? It's a begging like this deep, humble request that he's making. This wasn't a dude who was just out asking for money. This was a dude who understood humility as he implored Jesus. And look what it says about his humility, what it does. It says, and kneeling. His humility, knowing that he was in the presence of God himself, drove him to his knees. And he kneels down in surrender. You know what he's saying? I got to move this. He's saying, I can't do this. I can't make this happen. Look at my hands. Look at my nose. Look at my ears and my feet. Look at my body is literally coming apart. And as he falls to his knees, he says, Jesus, if you don't do this, I can't either. Nothing's going to happen. And as he kneels, he surrenders to Christ. Man, that's something that we lack so much. It feels like our culture and our churches even, and our youth groups, everything we do is to make us better. It's almost like it's all become about us. We want people to see us. We want to do things so we get better at things, and then we get a lot of applauses for it. Look what I can do. You know, like, look at how stylish I am, or how much I work out and how good looking I am, or look at how great I am at these sports so you can applaud me, or look at how well I sing or play instruments, or look at, everybody look at me. And we're constantly asking people, even in church, to clap for us. We've got pastors that stand on stages so they can be in a spotlight and have people look up their podcasts and read their books so that they can hear people go, that's really good, Pastor. This dude's just like on his knees going, I have nothing. I am a broken, rejected, unclean leper. All I have is to sit at your feet. And the cool thing, it was all about Jesus. How awesome if churches would turn back and repent from our seeking our own glory and go, Jesus, this is all about you. I want people to come and go, Jesus is awesome, and forget my name. Forget the things that we do that might be showy and nice and fun and great, and remember when they walk out the door that they just bumped up against Jesus, the Son of God. So here's my question. Is that how you're living your life? Is that how you go day to day? Is that what you're doing at school? When you study, are you studying so you get really good grades and people one day will be like, dude, you're so smart. Look at that report card. Or are you studying because you're doing all things to Jesus because He's giving you those resources, those gifts? Are you playing those sports so that people will see the name of Christ or see your name in the headlines? Are you singing and doing musicals and creative things out there because you want to have a platform to tell people that Jesus is awesome, or because you want your name recognized? It's hard to have your name recognized when you are a begging leper. And that's where this guy is tonight. He's at the feet of Jesus, kneeling down, going, "I have nothing. I'm surrendering to you." And then he says these awesome words to Jesus: "If you will, you can make me clean." I love the first three words, "if you will," because what he's saying is like, if it's your will, like, he's praising Jesus. It's almost like this praise song that's coming out of his lips, that everything bows to your will, Jesus. The universe came about with a word, with one word that you spoke. Stars burst into existence, planets, the whole universe. Just your word, your will. And he knows the power of Christ. Do you believe in a powerful God tonight? Or do you believe in this Christian religious God that we've made up in our minds that's contained to these buildings with smoke machines and worship services? Or do you believe in a God who goes through cities and heals people and raises the dead? Do you believe in a big enough Jesus who created everything that exists and holds it together? This guy said, "Jesus, everything bows at your will." Like, this is a faith that is so incredible, guys. And then he says, "If you will, you can. You can. I know you're capable." So this praise in his mouth turned into trust in his heart, where he says, "Jesus, I know and I trust." But he wasn't like saying, "Hey, Jesus, if you don't do this, you're not really God." He wasn't like going up to Jesus and testing him and trying to be like, "You've got to do this or I won't believe in you." He's going up and going, "You can. And if you will, you'll do it." I wonder how we pray, you and I, how we go before Jesus. Do we go saying that, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we studied a few weeks back at the furnace, saying, "I know you can save us from the furnace, but even if you don't, I'm still going to follow you." Do you pray like that? "God, this thing is breaking my heart. God, do you hear me down here? I know you can do this. But even if you don't, I'm still trusting you." Do you pray like that? So this guy's going, "Jesus, I know. I know you can, if it's your will, that you can do this." And here's his request. It's simple. "Make me clean. Just make me clean." The really neat part about this is you and I immediately think he's talking about his leprosy. It doesn't say he was just talking about his leprosy. We assume that. But in a second, we're going to see that Jesus does so much more than just heal this dude's leprosy. You see, back in that day, the Jews believed in these things. They would say clean and unclean. Things were holy and sacred or not. And so when they say clean, it wasn't just like you weren't sick or you didn't have leprosy. When you were unclean, it was kind of like you weren't chosen. You're not part of us. You have to be set outside of our people. Literally, they're saying you're trash. You don't belong here. They had gone so far from what God had taught them and twisted it and distorted it to literally look at people like this and say, "You're trash. You don't belong here." And you're probably getting mad right now in your heart. Like, how could they do that? How could they be so messed up? But careful, slow down. Before you judge them, look at your own heart tonight. Because as I thought through this, I did that. And I was upset. And all week I've been reading this passage going, how could they do that? Until God revealed in my heart places where I was like, Rob, you do that too. Are there not people in your life that you reject, that you don't pay attention to because of A, B, and C? They're not part of your group. Those people don't have the same personality with you. They don't share the same common interests. They might be from a different ethnicity or background or social class than you. And so, wait, I don't associate with them. Don't we have our cliques where people just aren't allowed into because they're not like us? How is this any different? You go down the list, whether it be racism, whether it be like, oh, I have more money than you, or I dress way better than you, or I'm funnier than you, or go down your list. The athletes hang out over here. You're not an athlete. Don't chill with us. Who is it in your life that you're treating like they're unclean? That you're saying, you're not worthy to be in our group. You're not worthy to be in my presence. And who are you to make that call? Who gave you the authority to treat someone else that way? I tell you, this one hit me in the heart this week. As God said, Jesus is looking at this guy, and look at Jesus' response. Check this out in the next verse. It says this, moved with pity. Moved with pity. Look at the heart of our Savior. He looks at this gross-looking dude who walks up and probably looked like you and I would probably call him like a monster because he was just totally deformed. His body was getting eaten up by this leprosy. We'd probably go and gasp because it would be kind of scary looking to even see him, and it might not be something we're used to seeing. And so he comes up and we do this, and instead Jesus is moved with pity to this guy. His heart is full of compassion as this dude comes up, and he's not retracting away, he's leaning in. That's a love that I want in my heart. And look what his words are. Oh, in a second. He says, moved with pity in verse 41, he stretched out his hand. Wait a minute. Isn't the culture here that people would be like, hey, you didn't yell, you're unclean, bro. Get back. Move off to the side. We're coming by. Cover yourself up. I don't want any of that leprosy you have. Like, get as far away from me as possible. And what does Jesus do? He reaches out. He gets closer. He takes his hand and he stretches it toward this guy. The exact opposite of what I would do. My heart would be like, whoa. And instead, Jesus says, let me get closer. Let me show you compassion and love. And he doesn't just stretch out his hand. He says, and he touched him. He just touched a leper. He just condemned himself in most people's minds to death. This guy has a disease that's transmitted by touch. And if you touch him, guess what you're going to wake up with tomorrow? And here Jesus is going, get over here. Come here. Don't scream out unclean. Don't think you're trash and worthless. I love you. And he reaches out. And he touches him. Do you realize he just broke like every social like rule that they had back in the day by doing this? But he lived some risky faith. It wasn't just being Captain Obvious. He's doing something about it. He's reaching out and he's touching someone. Who's God calling you to do that to? Who has God put in your life? And the Holy Spirit's been calling you over and over to your heart, being like, hey, you know that person that you've been treating? Like they don't belong. Who's He calling you to take that risky faith and reach out and touch them? To impact their life, to show them love and compassion and be their friend that they might not have. Who is it that you're just at odds with and kind of like there's this silent war going on, or maybe a loud one, where God's like, I want you to find reconciliation with that person that you're shunning because of whatever dumb reason, and I want you to go and reach out. We see Jesus' example here as he touches him, and then he says this, I will. The one thing the guy just wasn't, he was like, I know it can happen. I need to hear you say the words that you will. I believe it, Jesus. And he looks back and he says, yeah, I will. It's like, I remember the words when that teacher was like, yeah, I will. I couldn't believe it. And here this dude is in front of Christ with everything on the line. It wasn't some dumb class substitution so he could graduate. It was his life hanging in the balance. This disease would kill him. As he's there before Jesus, he's waiting to hear those two sweet words, I will. And Jesus says it. And then he commands him, be clean. And what he's saying is more than just, hey, your leprosy is gone, which it says in verse 42, immediately the leprosy left him, right? He was made clean. But more than that happened. When he looked at him and said, be clean, he's saying, you have value. You're not going to walk up and down hiding yourself anymore down these sidewalks or these dirt roads. Like, you're not going to have to cover up anymore and act like you're worthless and rejected and you're trash. Be clean. Be accepted. Know your value. Know how much I love you. Yes, I'm going to heal you physically, but I'm going to do this incredible work in your heart because I'm going to forgive your sin because you're placing your trust in me. This looks a lot different than some of us, you know, sometimes think of, like, salvation is like this chant that we do or this magic prayer. We say some words, but nothing's happening in our hearts. But I said words. Rob, I said words. Doesn't that matter? Not if you didn't mean it in your heart. The words don't save you. The water you were baptized in doesn't save you. It's the heart that changes in you, like this man who trusts Jesus with everything, with his whole life. He says, here, Jesus, is yours. And in that moment, he looks at him and says, you're forgiven. You're clean. Not just your leprosy, your sin, your brokenness. This deal where you feel like you have no value, it's gone. Jesus makes him clean. There's so many of us who struggle with this. You guys might come here tonight, and I don't know what you're going through. Some of you guys, I do. I know what you're going through. I know that tonight you're hearing this, and in your heart you're like, man, I need to hear that. And some of you guys, I don't know your story. Maybe you're coming and you're full of pain, and you feel rejected like this. You don't want to go to school tomorrow. You don't want those people. You don't have to see those people that constantly tell you you're unclean and that you're not worthy and you have no value, and it freaks you out. Can you know tonight? Know that Jesus is looking at you, reaching his hand out over you right now. As we read the words, he's telling us, he's doing this to you. And he's saying, I love you, and I'm right here, and I'm reaching, leaning into you. That pain in your heart, those people that you're afraid of, I'm telling you, you have value. You are precious. Jesus is looking at you saying, I love you. And some of you guys are sitting here tonight and you're like, but how can he say he loves me? Because he can see my heart and he knows the sin in me and he saw my thoughts this afternoon and he saw where I was last night, and you're listing all these things and you're like, and the people at church, they get on me all the time. They're pointing out all this junk, telling me I'm unclean and not worth it, and they're judging me, and my friends and my parents, everybody's on me. How could Jesus look at me and be okay with it? He's not okay with it. Don't get me wrong. He's not okay that you're living in sin, breaking your life. He's not okay with that. As a matter of fact, he's so not okay with it, he went to a cross and died over it. He gave his life for it because it was the way to fix you, to heal you. To be able to reach out and go, because I hung on this cross, I can put my hand out to you and I've, with my power, I've healed you. I've made you clean. That's what Jesus has done, and that's what Jesus wants to do for some of you who still have not turned to him and said, I trust you. Jesus, make me clean. I know you can if you will. I want to encourage you tonight, if you haven't done that, that you go before Jesus and you fall on your knees like this leper and you say, God, I need that. I trust you to forgive me and to give me life. I want to show you guys a quick video in just a second of how real this leprosy thing is, even today. We might not see it in Merritt Island or Cocoa or wherever you live here, but across the world, leprosy is a real deal. And it's still killing people and they're still being treated in terrible ways. So I want you to see a quick video about what's going on with that and how that's happening right now. I'm going to ask you guys to bow your heads with me for just a second. I want to lead you in a prayer And if you would you just in the quietness of your heart, as we get to that part that applies to you, will you pray it? You just say it to God in the silence of your heart. Will you ask Him first, just say, Lord, if there are things in me right now that are causing me not to love others, whether it be racism, whether it just be pride, whatever it is that's in my heart right now, will you just show it to me? God, will you reveal it to me? Will you pray and ask God that right now in your heart? Will you ask Him to cause you to love people the way Jesus loves? Cause you to reach your hand out to the people that you might want to draw back from? Will you say, God, will you put that love in my heart, that supernatural, that can't be done on my own, but you have to do that. Give me your love to love people, not just to be Captain Obvious and say it, but tomorrow, as I wake up, to start doing it, showing real acts of love to people around me that are clearly supernatural. You ask Him to do that in you right now. And if you're here tonight and you're like, I've never been touched like that by Jesus. I've never bowed before Jesus and said, I need you. I need you to forgive my sin so I could be made right with God and be saved. That's me tonight, Rob. Will you just pray for me? Will you do me a favor and just slip your hand up and just say, like, hey, that's me, Rob. Will you pray for me this week? Like, I need to know Jesus is my Savior. I've never done that. I don't know that I'd go to heaven if I were to die tonight. I don't know that I've been forgiven of my sin. Just slip your hand up for me and say, that's me. Will you pray for me? And let me pray for you right now. Father, we need you. God, this is not a love that we can have on our own. It's not natural in my heart. The exact opposite is true about me, Lord. I confess that and repent of that tonight. Will you give us a supernatural love that looks like Jesus? A love that only Christ can give us and cause us to start loving people with risky faith. To step out and reach out to people that would be unlikely for us. To serve people, to give generously, to love people like you loved. God, will you let them see the salvation that we have in our hearts so clearly, not just because we tell it and point it out, but also because we live it out. God, we take those words and we put actions behind them. Cause us to do that. And I pray, Father, if there are those in this room that don't know you as their Savior, God, they've never been forgiven of their sin or they don't have a relationship with you, God, Holy Spirit, will you touch their heart? Cause them to have a conversation with one of us tonight that they might know you and the goodness of your grace and love. Jesus, we lift all this up to you because you're good and you're worth it. And we tell you that tonight. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.